show them to all. And today's after Mishnah, we're going to be learning Maseches Bechoros, Perek Ches Mishnah Beis, all the way through Perek Ches Mishnah Tes. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, we now go on to the fourth category, Yotzei Daifen V'Haba Achrav, a Yotzei Daifen, which literally means coming out of the wall. That's what we would call a cesarean section. And Ba'achrav means the next child that comes after that child. That child was born naturally. Shnehem Ein Bechar, neither of them is a Bechar, Loi L'Nachal V'Loi L'Kayin, not for Nachal or for Kayin. And that's because the first one, which is Yotzei Daifen, it was the cesarean section. The pasuk tells us V'yoldu Loi, and was born to him, and this is not considered being born. And the second one also can't be considered a Bechar L'Nachla, because he's not called Rishis Oinoi, as we had mentioned. And the reason why I can't be Bechar L'Kayin either is because the C-section one is not considered Peter Rechem. He didn't come out of the womb, he came out of the stomach. And the second one also can't be Bechar L'Kayin because it had a child that came before it. So therefore, neither of these children are Bechar L'Kayin or L'Nachla. Now, it's just interesting to note that the Rav over here explains that it has to be referring to a woman that had twins, and the first twin came through the stomach, and the second one was born naturally. And the reason why that is due to the fact because back in the day, more often than not, when a woman had a C-section, she would either die from it, or even if she lived, she wasn't able to have a child normally afterwards. And therefore, the only way we would have such a case is if she was giving birth to twins, and the first one was a C-section, and the second one came out naturally. As we know that nowadays, it is a possibility even in two separate children, but that lacha would still be the same. Now, Rav Shimon says that no, he argues with Tanna Kamma, Harishon L'Nachla, V'Hasheni L'Chamish Shloim, the first one is Bechor L'Nachla, and the second one is five Shloim, meaning he's considered Bechor L'Kayin. That's because Rav Shimon holds that the first one, even though it came out of the stomach, that's still called Yoldu Loi, it's still born for the father, says Bechor L'Nachla, and the second one is considered Peter Rechem, because he's the first one that came out of the Rechem, and therefore he's considered Bechor L'Kayin. Hamishingvel says, Misha Loi Bechor Ishtoi, a man's wife did not give birth yet. Loi Bechor means she never had a Bechor, she had never given birth yet. And then what happened? V'yolda Shnei Zacharim, she gave birth to two males, Mazel Tov, but they just got mixed up. We don't know which one was the firstborn. So Noisacham Shalem L'Kayin, he has to give five Shalem to the Kayin for Pidyan Aben, and that's because, for sure, one of them is a Bechor. Now let's say Mesach Ramahem Sashleshim Yoim, one of them died within 30 days of birth, so Av Potter, the father, is Potter from giving the five Shalem to the Kayin, because he's not considered Ben Kayama, his child wasn't considered viable in the first place, and therefore, if the father had not yet redeemed him, he doesn't have to redeem the remaining one, because we don't know if that's the Bechor, maybe the one that died is the Bechor. And if the Kayin wants to get the five Shalem from the father, he would have to prove that the one that remained alive is the Bechor. Another example, Meis Ha'av V'Abonim Kayamin. Let's say the father died and the children are alive. What's done? So Meir says, Im Nosnu Achalei Chalku Nosnu. If they paid the five Shloim that's owed to the Kayin before they divided the assets, so they gave that five Shloim and that's fine. Vim Lav, however, if they hadn't paid that five Shloim yet and then they divided their father's Yerusha, Patur and their Potter from paying it. Now, why is that? Well, that's because Meir holds something interesting. Two brothers, when they're dividing Yerusha, they're actually considered like they're buying each other's chelek off of each other. They're lekuchas, they're purchasers. For example, a father dies and leaves over two cars. So according to halacha, each of the children owns an equal portion of each of the cars. But obviously, each of them is just going to take one car. And so the way that we look at it is if brother one purchased the other half of his car from brother two, and the same thing, brother two purchased the other half of his car from brother one. And therefore, says Rav Meir, after they already had divided the Yerusha, they're not chayv to pay up their father's debts. Their father owed five slime to the kayin, but they don't have to pay that up because they're just purchasers from each other and they don't owe that money. Therefore, if they did not pay that five slime before they made the division, they don't have to pay it afterwards. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that no, nischayv v'nechasim. The property is chayv to pay up, and that's because Rabbi Yehuda holds that brothers that are dividing a Yerusha are considered like regular Yarshim. They're just inheriting their father. And therefore, even after the division of the property, it's still considered like they have their father's nechasim and their father owed this five slime, so they still have to pay it. Now we have another case, Zachar and Akeva. Let's say this man's wife gave birth to twins, a male and a female, and count the coin clone. The coin doesn't get anything because we don't know which one was born first, and it's very possible the female was, and therefore the coin would have to prove that the male was, and since he's not able to do that, the father doesn't have to give him anything. Moving on to Mishnah Dalid, more situations. Shtei Nashim, two women that are both married to the same man. That's a big key over here. Sholoi Bechru, none of them had given birth yet. V'yoldu Shnei Zacharim, and they both gave birth to males. So obviously they're both firstborns. Now, even if they get mixed up, it's not a problem. They're both firstborns. Nois and Esther Slime L'Kayin, the father has to give 10 slime to the Kayin. Now, Meis Achan Mehem Sashleishim Yoim, if one of them died within 30 days, so that really depends. Im L'Kayin Echa Nosan, if the father had given these 10 Slayim to one Kayin, Yachsolai Chamish Slayim. So that Kayin has to give him back 5 Slayim, because the child died within 30 days. As we had said, that's considered a non viable child who doesn't have to be redeemed in the first place, so the father gets 5 Slayim back. Whereas Im L'Shnei Kayanim Nosan, if he'd given 10 Slayim to two different Kayanim, 5 to this one, 5 to that one, Eino Yachal Hoytzim Yodam, he can't get anything from them, because whichever Kayin he's going to try to take the money from, he would have to prove that the son whom he redeemed for that money was the one that had died. And obviously he can't do that, so each Kayin could tell him, the money that you gave me for redemption of your son, well, that son is still alive. Moving on to another case, remember, we're still discussing our man that has two wives, and then neither neither of them had given birth yet. And what happened? Zachar Nukeva. They both gave birth, one to Zachar, one to Nukeva. Ay, Shnei Zachar Nukeva. Or it was two males and a female. So it means that one of the males is for sure a Bechar. However, the other male is not necessarily a Bechar because it could be that he was born after the female. And so we don't necessarily have two Becharim over here. No problem. At least five Shleim has to be given to the Kain. What about the following? Shnei Nukeva is for Zachar. There were two females born and a male. Ay, Shnei Zachar Shnei Nukeva. Or two males and two females. The Kain doesn't get anything because it's very possible the females were born before the males. Another situation, this fellow is married to these two women. However, achas bechra v'achas shaloi bechra, one of them had already given birth and one of them didn't. So you have similar cases. They both gave birth to a male. He has to give five shalom to the kohen because one of them is for sure bechar, even though we don't know which one it is. Now, if one of these children die within 30 days, and remember, we do not know which one is the bechar, ha'av pater, the father is pater from paying for this because it's very possible the bechar died. Now, let's say the father died and the children are alive. So Rameir says, if they paid the five slime that the father was chayv to the kain before the division of property was made, nasu, so they gave it. Vim lav if not patur and their pater, like we explained in the previous mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda says, nischayv nuchasim, nuchasim are chayv, and they would have to pay anyway. Lastly, zachar nukeva, if of these two women, one who had already given birth and one who hadn't, one of them now gave birth to a male, the other gave birth to a female, and the children got mixed up, and kind of kain klom, the kain doesn't get anything because we don't know which one gave birth to which, so we don't know if the zachar is a firstborn, so nothing needs to be paid. And we can deal with discussing more cases. In the previous mishnayos, we had one man that was married to two women and multiple scenarios of if we have a bechor, if we don't, and what the halacha would be. Now Mishnah tells us, shtei nashim shel shnei anashim, two women and two men. So as we have Reuven married to Rachel and Shimon married to Leah and Shaloi Bichu, neither of these women ever had children, and the yoldu shnei zacharim, both of them gave birth to a male. That means that both of them have a din of a bechor, and what happened? These children got mixed up, so we don't know which one is which. That doesn't make a difference. Zenoi zacham shalem l'kayim, zenoi zacham shalem l'kayim. Each father has to give five shalem to the kayin as a pidyon for the bechor, because each one for sure has a bechor. But now let's say one of these children sadly died within 30 days, and we know that means that he was never chayv and bechor in the first place. So if these fathers had both given their five slime to the same kayin, so that kayin has to give five slime back to them, and then they would split the five slime, two and a half to this one, two and a half to that one, because they don't know which one of their sons died. However, if they had given their five slime to two different kayhanim, they can't get money back from the kayin, because each father is going to go to a different kayin saying, you owe me for my son, and the kohen could say, who says that I had received money for your son which passed away? Maybe it was for the other one. Now what about the following? These two women gave birth to Zachar Unikeva, a male and female, so the male is for sure a Bechar, but we don't know who his father is, because again they got mixed up. So Avos Peturin, the fathers are potter from paying. However, V'haben Chayv Lefdei Zatzmai, the son, when he gets old enough, he has to redeem himself, because he's for sure a Bechar, and regardless of who his father is, he still is a Bechar that needs pidyon. Now Shtei Nekevas V'Zachar, Oy Shnei Zachar M'Shtei Nekevas, let's say of these two women that had not given birth yet, they give birth to two girls and a boy, or two boys and two girls, and again they all got mixed up and we don't know which one was born first. Ain't kind of the kind of clone, the kind doesn't get anything because it's very possible that the girls were born before the boys and there's no bechar over here. Moving on to Mishnah Vav with more scenarios. Achas bechra v'achas sholoi bechra shal shnei anashim. Again, we have two women that are married to two separate men, and here we have one of them that already had given birth and just one of them did not give birth yet, v'yaldu shnei zacharim, and they both gave birth to males. So zeh sholoi bechra ishtai, the man whose wife had never given birth yet, he has to give five slime to the kain, because even though he doesn't know which one of these baby boys is his, he still for sure has a bechar, so he'd have to redeem that bechar by giving five slime to the kain. However, zachar nukeva, if these two women give birth to a male and a female, the kain doesn't get anything. It's very possible that the mother who had already had a child gave birth to the male, and so wouldn't have a bechar. Now the mission just discusses regular plain old case of bechara, where we have a father and a mother, and a son is born to them, and he's for sure a bechar, and now we have a number of different scenarios. Mesa ben Mesesh Leishim Yoim, if that son died within 30 days, Afal Pishin Nosan Lekayin, even if the five slime were already given to the Kayin for Pidyon, Yachzer Lechamish Slime, Kayin has to give back those five slime, and that's because, as we already know, if the child dies within 30 days, he's considered a Nefel, he's a non-viable child that was never Chayiv and Bechar in the first place. Now, Le'achar Shleishim Yoim, if the son dies after 30 days of life, Afal Pishin Loi Nosan, even if the father had not yet done a Pidyon Aben, Yitain, he still has to give those five slime because he was chayv to give it, and his son lived past 30 days, so he still has to pay up, even though now the son had already passed away. Now let's say the following. Meis b'yom shloshim, the son died on day 30 after birth. That's k'yom shalafanav. It's just like the day before it, meaning it's like dying within 30 days, and if the father never paid, he doesn't have to, and if he already paid, he gets his money back. However, Rabbi Kiva says that it's a safek, and therefore, im nasan, if he had already paid, lo yitol, he doesn't get his money back. But v'im loy nasan, if he had not yet been paideh, he didn't give the money yet, lo yitain, so he doesn't have to give. Now what about the following scenario, Meis Ha'av B'Sech Shleishim Yaim, the father died within 30 days. So B'Cheskas Shalei Nifta is B'Cheskas, meaning it's a legal presumption that the son was not redeemed yet. Ad Sheyavi Raya Shenifta, he would have to bring a Raya, proof with two Edim, two witnesses, that he was redeemed, and that's because it was within 30 days. However, L'Achar Shleishim Yaim, if the father had died after the kid lived for 30 days already, B'Cheskas Shenifta, it's B'Cheskas that he already was redeemed, Ad Sheyavi Raya Shalei Nifta, until they tell him that he wasn't redeemed. This referring to a situation where the father on his deathbed told people, I need you to redeem my son for me because I haven't redeemed him yet. Now, what about the following? Hu liftois ubinoi liftois. He has to redeem himself and his son. Let's say you have a husband and wife who weren't from and they're mechazik entire mitzvahs, and then they have a child and somebody tells them, wow, you have a boy, you have a chiv and pinyin aben. And he says, pinyin aben, what's that? And they explain it to him and he says, wow, I can't believe it. I'm a bachar and I was never redeemed. So he has to redeem himself and then he has to redeem his son as well. But he only has five slayim. What does he do? Hu kaidim lisbenai. He comes before his son. However, Rabbi Yehuda argues and he says, Benoi kaidmai. His son comes before him. Shemitzvah soi al aviv, umitzvah benoi alav. His mitzvah of redemption is really on his father. This fellow right now, he was really supposed to be redeemed by his father. The fact that his father didn't do it makes it incumbent upon him. But the ikur mitzvah is on his father. And that means that the main mitzvah that's on this fellow right now is to redeem his son, and that's why Rabbi Huda says he has to redeem his son before he redeems himself. As we've been saying up until now, that when a father is paida, when he redeems his firstborn son, he has to give five slime to the kain. The question is, where does this come from, this lashon of sela? This is not a biblical word. It's not found in the Torah. The Torah tells us, chameshes shkalim b'shakal ha-kodesh, that five shkalim of holy shkalim, that's what's used for pidyon ha-ben. However, as we just said, that's a Torah terminology, but the word that's used in Mishnah and Gemara is the word sela, but it's really the same thing. The shekel of the Mishnah and the Sela of the Gemara has the same exact value. Now, bearing this important piece of information in mind, Mishnah Zayin tells us, Chamesh Slaim Shal Ben, these five Slaim that are used for the redemption of the son for Pidyon HaBen, B'Manetzuri. That's the denomination of Manetzuri. Now, what's this Manetzuri? So this requires a little more explanation. As we had just said, the word Shekel is a biblical word, and Sela is the common word that they would call that same coin. But let's clarify something that does not really exist nowadays. Our money does not have true value. We take a quarter or a 5-shekel piece, for example, even though it's nice and shiny and it looks like silver, it's not silver. It's just some sort of composite metal. It's a cheap little circle that they say is worth 5 shekel, but it doesn't have any real value to it. As opposed to back in the day, their money actually had real value. When they used copper coins, it was real copper. Silver was real silver. Gold was real gold. And therefore, the coin didn't just have value because it was stamped with an image. It had value because it was real precious metal. And that's where this lashon of manetzuri comes in. Because in the Midbar with Moshe Rabbeinu, when they got the Torah, the word shekel meant a coin that had the weight of a shekel, and that means that the Sela coin also has a particular weight of silver. However, a little bit later on, the Chachamim decided that let's add to this weight of the Sela coin, and now it's going to actually have to weigh more. It has to have more silver in it, and that's what's called Manetzuri. This happened in this place called Tsar, and therefore anytime we mention Manetzuri, that's referring to a coin that actually has this added weight to it, and that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that these five slayim that are used for Pidyon HaBen, it's not a regular old school sela that came from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's this new type of sela that again is in this denomination of Manetzuri, which is heavier and has more silver. Now, once the Mishnah is discussing money, things that are said in the Torah, we continue talking about that. Shloishim shel eved, v'chamishim shel oinus shel mafata, u'meh shel moitzi shemra, all these payments that have to be made, that the Torah tells us about. The Torah says in regards to an eved, that a person would have to pay 30, or in regards to oinus mafata, a person has to pay 50, in regards to Moshe Shemra, a person has to pay 100. So kulam b'shekel ha-kodesh, the lashon in the Torah is shekel ha-kodesh. And again, we know that shekel means sela. And what is the sela nowadays? That's b'manetzuri. The payment has to be made in the weight of manetzuri, the sela that's part of this denomination, not the old school value of the sela. The Mishnah continues, v'kulam niftin b'kesef u'b'shaveh kesef, all things that need to be redeemed. For example, a bachar needs to be redeemed. That's pidyon haben, the redemption of the son. So that can be done with kesef, with an actual silver coin, or it could also be done with shava kesef, with something that has value of silver. However much that silver coin is actually valued at, let's say it's $20, so you don't have to use the actual coin. You could use something else that's worth $20, maybe a pen or a frisbee or something like that. That's perfectly okay. Chutz min hashkalim, except for shkalim. We know that every single year, from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu all the way through the Beis Hamikdash, there's something called machza shekel. Every single person in Klal Yisrael of a certain age had to give half of a shekel to the Beis Hamikdash. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that when that half a shekel is given, it can't be something that's the value of half a shekel. It actually has to be a real half shekel coin. And moving on to Mishnah Ches, continues to discuss Pinyan Aben. Ein paiden loy bavadim loy b'shtaris loy b'kakaris loy b'kdeishais. When a person is being paid to his firstborn son, he can't do this pinyan with a slave, meaning he can't give a slave to the kohen instead of five slaim, and he can't give a shtar, meaning if somebody else owes this person five slaim, he can't hand that note over to the kohen. Let's say Reuven owed Shimon five slaim, and he wrote him a note: I owe you five slaim. Shimon can't give that to the kohen, and also he can't give him a piece of property, karka, that's worth five slaim, and he can't use something which is hektish either. And this is all based off of a drasha that the Gemara brings. Now, what about the following situation? Let's say the father realizes that he doesn't have five slaim, but he still wants to be paid to his son. So what did he do? Kasav l'kayin shuchayv l'chamish slaim. He wrote the kayin an I owe you note. I owe you five slaim, and he hands that over to the kayin. Chayv l'ten loy. He has to give the five slaim to the kayin, but ubenoy einoy padoy. His son is not redeemed. That's not considered redemption for the son, and that's because the chum were afraid that if people see this transaction, they're going to think to themselves, "Hold on a second. This fellow gave an I owe you note to the kayin. Well, that's just being like paida with a shtar." And we had just learned at the beginning of the Mishnah that you can't be paida with a shtar, but a person might say, "Hey, you could be paida with a shtar." And therefore, the Ramacharan said, "This fellow wrote this I owe you note of five slime to the kayin. He has to give him five slime, and there's no pidyon. He has to give him another five slime." Lefikach, because of the situation, im rotza kayin litin lematana rashai. If the kayin wants to be nice and give the money back to the fellow as a present, he could do that, and then the fellow could give him the money back once again, and that would be used as pidyon. But if the kayin does not want to do that, he doesn't want to give the five slime back, he doesn't have to, and the father would have to come up with another set of five slime. Another din, hamafresh pidyon binoy va'avad. A person designated, he separated five slime for the pidyon of his son, and it got lost. He lost the money. Chay bachar yusai. He's responsible for that, and he has to come up with more money. And that's because Shinamar the Pasuk says, yielach upaday siftet. This is really just snipping four words out of a much longer Pasuk. This was addressed to Aaron HaKayin, and he was told that yielach, that any firstborn animal or person belongs to you. As we mentioned earlier in the Masechta, the Kayin actually kind of owns the firstborn animal or owns the firstborn child. And then the Pasuk tells us, Padai Sifdet, that a person shall redeem his firstborn son. And therefore we learn from here that it's only once that redemption money gets to the Kayin, then the official pidyon happened. But if the money never got to him, even though it was designated by the father, tough luck, the father has to come up with more money in order to be paid to his son. Now we're going to discuss a unique din by a Bechor Ha'av. He's the firstborn to his father, and that's that a Bechor is Neutel Pishnayim. He gets double in the Yerusha and inheritance. So let's say there's two brothers, one of them is a Bechor, one's not, and the father dies. What do we do? Instead of dividing everything in half, we divide all of his properties and everything he has into three parts. The Bechor takes two of those, and the remaining brother takes one. Let's say there's six brothers. We do the same thing. We divide everything into seven portions. The Bechor takes two of those, and the rest are given out to the other boys. So the Mishnah tells us, HaBechor Neutel Pi Shnayim B'Nechse Ha'av. The Bechor takes double in the Nechasim of the father, Ve'Einu Neutel Pi Shnayim B'Nechse Ha'im. But he does not take double in the Nechasim of the mother. There are certain things that are owned by the mother. These are called Nechse Mulug. This is stuff that she brings into the marriage, which even though her husband has the rights to use them, they don't actually become the husband's. And so the Bechor does not get double of his mother's stuff, only of his father's. Also, he doesn't get double of the Shevach. Let's say after the father died, it took them quite some time to divide up the Nechasim. And in the meantime, let's say they had an empty field. So the brothers got together and they plowed and planted and weeded and hoed and did whatever it was. And by the time it came to divvy up the field, now there's a lot of wheat in it. So that's called Shevach. That's a lot of gain in the field itself. That's not considered part of the father's Yerusha, and the Bechor does not take double on that. Furthermore, v'loy b'roy ki b'mochzik, he doesn't take that which is fitting like that which is mochzik. Mochzik means that which his father had in his hand, if you will, meaning something his father had access to, and roy means something that's fitting. For example, there was a relative that when that person dies, his Yerusha would go to the father, and that means that when the father dies, the Yerusha is going to go to the father's sons, and then let's say a short time after the father died, that relative died. So the Yerusha is actually going to the father's sons who are now dividing everything up. The Bechor doesn't get double in that. That's called Roy, because when his father had passed away, that Yerusha was only Roy. It was eventually going to come, but it wasn't there yet. It wasn't considered Mochzik. His father didn't actually have it yet, so he doesn't get double in that either. Now, once we mention these two concepts, Shevach and Mochzik, we apply them to other situations as well. Now, in order to talking about a woman getting her ksuba. This is when a woman's husband dies or divorces her. She gets to collect the ksuba. And there's also a stipulation in a ksuba that any daughters that the wife has, they're going to be fed from the estate, meaning they're going to support themselves from the money that the father left over, any of them as well. We know that we have two brothers, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon. And let's say Reuven dies without children. So Shimon has a mitzvah to marry Reuven's wife. That's called Yibum. And the halacha is that when he does marry her, he gets to yarshin his brother Reuven. But in all these situations, v'kulon, with all these, ein notlan b'shavach, they don't take shavach, v'loy b'roy kim b'mochsek, they don't take roy like they do get by mochsek. So I said, for example, the woman for ksuba, when her husband died, if the property that was left over was not enough to pay her ksuba, and then there was a shavach that happened, or roy, something that was eventually going to come to her husband, later on did come, she doesn't get to collect her ksuba from that. Same thing with the daughters, they can't collect their monthly payments for their food from this money, and the yavim as well. When he marries his brother's wife, he doesn't get these things either. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Yud, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.